Let's pray. Oh, good, good and holy God, I come before you trepidatiously, thinking about your justice, your hatred for sin, your wrath, this world we live in. Father, I come expectantly because you have spoken from your throne on high to everyone to come. Your Spirit says come. The bride says come. Your Son stood on this earth and said come. Father, I come with joy because at your right hand is your Son Jesus, who ever lives to save to the uttermost those that you have given him, those that are his. Father, I ask for help that we would focus on you, your glory, through your word. Though scattered from out your Bible, Father, would it say one thing today? Protect us from the evil one, Father, who would try so many schemes to rob your word from us. And keep us from temptation, Father, the great temptation to not treasure your holy word as a conduit to faith, which is a conduit to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So we are on week two of Advent. Last week we talked about hope. This week we're going to talk about love. Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about joy. And then we're going to talk about peace. So we've got hope, love, joy, and peace. And then on Christmas morning, if the Lord should grant it to us, we're going to come here and we'll light the Christ candle and we'll focused on Christ. And those are the five steps of Advent, the way we've built it this year. I want to show you something from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, as we've been in Romans. If you would, just look there in your Bible or look on the screen. You can see in verse 1 that since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Okay, so we're going to talk about that on the fourth week of Advent, aren't we? If you look down into verse, at the end of verse 2, we rejoice in hope. Right there is joy and hope. Week 1 and 3 of Advent. Verse 3 also says, we rejoice in our sufferings. And why are we to do all this rejoicing and suffering? In verse 5, look at the other topic, which is what we're going to talk today, is because God's love has been poured into our hearts by His Holy Spirit. So here we are, just finished up Romans 5, and I build Advent different every year, not because I plan absolutely anything. It's just it gets here, and I do something. I think Advent is a good tradition that can be redeemed year after year. And so this year I did something different with these four topics, and then I saw that when I was studying this week, right there where we've been. Because this is gospel stuff. So you should find love, joy, peace, and hope in every place you go in the Bible. You should be looking for these things that culminate in Christ. So last week we looked at the darkness of this world, right? The troubles of it, and how everyone, generation after generation, was hoping, looking forward expectantly for God to keep His promise that He promised to Eve. And this week, just different things have been happening in my study and in the world, and it was brought to my attention, just thinking about the darkness of the world mixed with hope, of what the flood was like. We get this sanitized, the one gentleman says, this flannel graph, felt board picture of the flood. And he said, just put yourself in Noah's sandals walking off of that boat. wherever you went was death. Animals, humans of every shape, size, everywhere. And yet he was alive because God had told him to do something, and he did it by faith. He said, okay. And then his family had all kinds of problems. And just thinking about the darkness of this world, and yet Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So we have, as Christians, we have this paradox of, as they say, already and not yet. We already have Christ Jesus. We have an assurance in him if you're born again. And yet, as we talked about last week, it's still hard and we're still hoping for a future good. I want to talk about what is in, behind, and over, and around, and underneath that hope today. Namely, the love of God. I just want to generally talk about the love of God, and then I want to try, by God's grace, to apply that to this Christmas season, to Advent, to not only did we hope that Christ would come, but he did, but we're hoping he'll return, and he will. All that so far is rooted in love. Well, what does the love of God have to do with me moving forward? That's where I would like to end today. So just a hodgepodge of verses as we get into this is God's love is, number one, displayed in the Trinity. John 17, 26, this is Jesus' high priestly prayer about 12 hours before he was nailed to a cross. And he's praying to the Father, and in that, he says he wants to continue to make the name of the Lord known. Look at what he says, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Jesus says, you love me, Father. I want that, this love. Now, this is perfect Jesus, sinless Jesus, 12 hours before he obeys the Father who sent him to die on the cross saying, I want them to know about this love that you have for me. As he marches, this is in Gethsemane, on the way to Gethsemane, I should say. Amazing. That the night that he is betrayed by all, betrayed by his friend Judas, abandoned by all, he's obeying the Father in giving his life. And on his mind is, man, they need to know about this love. I want to display how much you love me. God's love is Trinitarian. But that's not just one-way love. He had told them earlier in the evening in John 14, 31, in teaching about the Holy Spirit, he says, I do as the Father has commanded me, namely, go to the cross, so that the world may know that I love the Father. So he's teaching the disciples. He says, I do everything he tells me to do so that the world will know I love him. And the closer that gets, he's saying, in that prayer that I mentioned earlier, I want them to know how much you love me. You see, the cross is wrapped around the love of God for the love of God. We, by his grace, are engulfed into that. Hard to comprehend? Glad you mentioned it. Next point, God's love is incomprehensible. We can't fathom that. We can't fathom, as Paul says in Ephesians 3:19, that the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. We can't comprehend the love of the Father to the Son to the Father, that is shown most especially in the death of the Son, in obedience to the Father. So that's in a relationship with no one that's ever done anything wrong but be perfect and holy and good. And then you have this group that we talked about last week that dwells in darkness, right? And this love affair says, let's bring them in. Let's bring them in through the death of the Son. You can't comprehend what type of love that is. When he commands us to love our enemies, he is saying, you do that because it displays what I do. He says that in Luke. I am kind. Jesus says the Father is kind and good, merciful to ungrateful and wicked people. That's why you should love ungrateful and wicked people, because it displays God. We cannot comprehend it. One of the questions that comes up over and over and over in pastoral ministry is, how do I love them? How do I do that? Because people in this room have been hurt. People in this room have to go to work tomorrow and somebody wickedly is trying to cause them their job, or try to steal from them, try to cheat off of them in class. This world's bad. And then Jesus, they read their Bibles, you read your Bible, they say, love them. Golly gee, how do I do that? It's incomprehensible. God's love is incomprehensible. One, because it is, next point is, God's love is great. Ephesians 2:4, God rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. When He brings us out of darkness into His marvelous light, the root of that mercy, which is pity with action, is love. That's what we talked about here a few weeks ago. When you go down the tunnel of why does God do what He does, you find a treasure of love. And then when you start swimming through that treasure to find out why does He love, you don't get anywhere. It goes on and on and on in His eternal being. Where He tells you, if you remember out of Deuteronomy 7, I love you because I love you. Don't look in the mirror, saint, to find out why God loves you. Look up. He loves you because He loves you. Dear sinner who's been rebellious, running from God, angry, or just hurt and stuck in sin, don't look in the mirror for why God might love you. Look up. Look at the cross. He does love you. Look further. He just does. That's incomprehensible. It's great. It's a great love that cannot be measured. It really is true that in eternity, day after day, new moon after new moon, Sabbath after Sabbath, we're going to be worshiping, rejoicing, filled with great joy because God is love. The next thing is that God's love is a gift. God's love is a gift. John 3:16, that famous verse that you hear me say often, God so loved the world that He gave. The love of God in Christ Jesus is a gift. A gift is not earned. We've been studying through Romans 1 through 5. I hope you have it in your head. Unearned, unmerited favor. Grace. It's a gift. A free gift from God. That's what His love is. He so loved the world that He gave His Son. That whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is a gift. From our reading today that Jessica read earlier in verse 9, in this the love of God was made manifest, made known amongst us, that God sent His Son into the world so that we might live through Him. So when God wanted to peel back the curtain to manifest His love, to where we could see that Trinitarian love, He sent His Son. I think you could paraphrase that and say, go down, Son. Leave all this glory. Think about our reading, our adoration reading from Philippians. Leave all this glory. Leave this worship. Go down there to that valley of dry bones, to that flooded, wrathful place, and let's show them love. He sent His Son into the world. This happened on Christmas morning. What we call Christmas morning. We don't know when it is. This year we're going to celebrate it on a Sunday morning. It's good that we celebrate it year after year to be reminded that God sent His Son into the world, born of a virgin, to where He is fully man and fully God, right there, literally in a manger in Bethlehem. behind that action, behind that obedience from Jesus, is love. A gift of love. So I want to look at what type of gift love is. Lastly, it is a sacrificial gift. Love is a sacrificial gift. John 15:3, greater love has no man than this, no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So when Jesus is teaching, he says, I want to explain greatest love possible. It's that you give your life for a friend. That's sacrificing for someone else. We hold that in great honor. We see that. We just preached here about a month ago, month and a half ago, Romans 5, 8. God shows His love. He manifests, He displays, He demonstrates His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us sacrificially. What I want you to see in these 6-7 verses that I'm going to read to you is the tying together of the death of Jesus Christ and the love of God. Greater love has no one than this, that He lay down, He give up His life for another. Romans 5, 8, God demonstrates His love, He shows His love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. The love of God is most especially seen, not only seen, but most especially seen in the fact that His Son died for sinners. So you can describe the love of God with a mom and a baby. You can describe the love of God in nature, looking at what animals might do or how beautiful something is. Or on a wedding day, you can talk about the love of God. But if you cannot fully talk about the love of God without going to Calvary, without talking about that gruesome, most despicable thing that's ever happened on the earth, the death of Jesus Christ on a cross. Oh, you can talk about the love of God at Bethlehem in a manger. We should. But you cannot untie God's love from the death of His Son. A few more verses to say the same thing. John, 1 John 3:16. By this we know love. This is how we know love. How? That He laid down His life for us. Death of Jesus, love go together. 1 John 4:10, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Again, from today's reading. Remember, propitiation is a satisfying sacrifice. It's the death of Jesus that actually bears all of that wrath. This is how we know love. This is love. Not that we love God. So our faith isn't about us and what we give Him. It's about what He has given us. That His Son is a satisfying sacrifice for our sins. Again, Galatians 2:20. This is a different context, but Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I'm no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Again, God's love tied directly to the death of God's Son. And lastly, Revelation 1:5, at the very beginning of John's revelation, from Christ Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins, how? By His blood. So God's love is a gift, but God's love is a sacrificial gift. So when we go to Bethlehem every Christmas, and we must, we have to realize that this gift, this is a down payment, if you will. This is the first installment, if you will, of the fullness of His love, which is the death of His Son for sinners. This is a wonderful gift. I think it's absolutely wonderful that we give gifts to one another at Christmas. I know it can be twisted and we can get want. And as parents, we try to teach our children it's more blessed to give to than receive. But what a beautiful thing to display to the world than a bunch of cheerful givers. For those of you that have heard of the five love languages, gift giving is not mine. That's just not the language I speak. If you give me something, I'm thankful. I'm not saying I'm not thankful. If Asia gives me something, but that's not how I relate, right? But I think it's great that some people are. I think it's good to put a smile on somebody's face by saying, here's a book for no particular reason than I love you. Here's a keychain. Here's a bookmark. Here's a car, here's a house, whatever. It's good to give gifts. And so it's good that we do that at this time and remember that God's love for us is a gift. It's a sacrificial gift. And we don't have to get all gloomy. We know there's a resurrection. We don't have to dwell on the outside of the ark after the flood. Our minds really can be put on things above. Do our feet have to walk in this dark world where we see headline after headline of atrocity and wickedness when we have to experience it personally? Yes. But God's love sacrificed His Son to redeem us from this mess. So, in way of application, two things. God's love is a sacrificial gift to be received. I don't want to go through this Christmas season just assuming everyone in here has received God's love. I know for certain that there are people right now listening to me whose God's love is this thing outside of themselves. You've heard about it, but you haven't experienced it. That you have yet to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Give me grace. I believe that your Son died for my sins because you love me. I want to encourage you in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to invite you this morning to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn away from your sins, to turn away from your problem, to turn away from your good stuff and receive Jesus Christ as a gift from God because He loves you. All you have to do, that's the other good thing about Christmas, it's a beautiful picture. All you have to do, kids, on Christmas morning, if you want to make mom and dad happy, grandma and grandpa happy, on Christmas morning, here's what you do. Enjoy opening gifts. Get excited about what you get. Now, here's the good news. That's easy because it's free. It's a gift. Just open it up and be happy. And the people that worked all year to sacrifice and get that for you, that's what they want. And then go play with it all afternoon. Go wear it. Go show it off. Go tell grandma what they got. Go tell mom and dad what grandma got. Just enjoy it. You see, that's all you have to do with salvation. Receive Jesus by faith. Be thankful and happy. We complicate that a lot. We complicate that a whole lot. That's the command. Rejoice in the Lord. So I want to encourage you, as John 15:9 says, to abide in His love. That's the place of a Christian, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That phrase there, abide in my love, is in John 15, 1 through 11, which is all about Jesus' teaching on the Holy Spirit. So when He says, abide in my love, He says, just enjoy me being inside of you, dear saint. Receive the gift by faith. Enjoy the gift by faith. I want to encourage you, if you're not a Christian and you know it, receive Jesus this morning. Don't let Satan trick you into thinking next Sunday's a better Sunday. Tomorrow's a better day. Trust in Jesus today. It's a sacrificial gift to be received. Receive Him. And then lastly, it's a sacrificial gift to be given. That was the flavor of our text today, of our Advent reading there in 1 John. In verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another." That's a command statement. That there is an imperative statement. This is what you're supposed to do, church. This is John writing to the church. Hey, guys, let us love each other. For love is from Him. As we've read, this great love, this incomprehensible love, this Trinitarian love He's given to us, it's from Him to be shared amongst you, brothers and sisters. The church should be a place of love. We'll look at that more fully. Look at verse 8 in today's reading. Anyone who does not love does not know God. That there's a detachment. So, dear person who is convinced you are a Christian, if you don't have love, you don't know God, is what John's saying. See, it's not just saying, I believe Jesus died on the cross, and therefore I'm a Christian. No. It's about receiving a new birth that changes who we are, that we love one another. If you don't, this is a warning. This is a serious warning. If you don't love, you don't know God. Let that be weighty. Don't try to brush it off too quick and say, well, I love grandma. I love my kids. I love this person, that person. Jesus says, wicked people do that. The Gentiles do that. They love all the normal people. He said, I want you to love each other. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. He says it twice in this text. That contemplating the love of God toward us, this sacrificial love displayed through the incarnation, displayed through the cross, is to be shared amongst the saints, loving one another. Now remember, we learned that love is sacrificial, didn't we? Love isn't easy. Love gets you crucified. And he says, love one another. In fact, when Jesus is asked about the law, he said, this is the greatest commandment, love God. Second one's love each other. Love your neighbor. And then he gives us a new commandment in John 13, 34 through 35, when he says, a new commandment I give you, that you love each other like I have loved you. So now we know what John's talking about. When he says, brothers, he said, this love is from God. If you don't love, you don't know God. He said, remember, we heard, this is John saying, we heard that night, Jesus said, I want you to love each other like I love you. And how did Jesus love us? We already tied that together, didn't we? The love of God, the death of His Son. We're loved sacrificially to the point of death. Our reading, adoration reading, even the death on the cross. So let me ask you, dear fellowship, do you love each other? Do you love each other to the point of death on the cross? Let me put it this way. I don't doubt in my mind that you love one another. I don't doubt that. I see it. I feel it. I've experienced it. And I'm not trying to say that you don't love like Christ loved, but I don't know that we've been pushed to that limit. Because Christ's love is, they did wrong, I'm going to pay for it with public open shame and death for their sake. I don't know that we've been pushed that far. But I want to encourage you to think about it, maybe to set your mind that if one of these dear saints that we love does something so foolish that I would have to suffer public shame and maybe even death to protect them, that I would do it because I love them. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about, we always use, don't fight over carpet colors. You know, I don't know if a church has ever split over carpet colors, but I know they've been blamed for it a lot. That's the example everybody used. Don't argue over the color of carpet. That's not the type of love. He's not saying love each other enough to agree on carpet. He's saying love each other enough that when one is burdened and destroyed by sin, you pick up the cross and carry it. Die if you have to. What great love the Father has given us. Love those in the fellowship. But not only that, when Jesus says, love your neighbor, you remember the guy says, well, who is my neighbor? And he gives the story of the Good Samaritan. We should love the people in this community. And if we walk out of these doors today and we find somebody who ruined their own life through foolish decisions, you know what we should do? Sacrificially give out of love. That's what the Good Samaritan did. Remember? He put him on the donkey, took him to the inn, shelled out his money, said, whatever he needs, you do. He doesn't know the guy. The guy should have never been on the road to Jericho. That was foolish. Love your neighbor. Sacrificially give. So not only is this a time to give to our family and our friends, our co-workers and those in our church and watch them smile and open a gift and smile, we should be giving to those that have been foolish this year. Do you have any of them on your list? I want to make sure I help so-and-so who lost everything gambling this year. I want to make sure I help so-and-so in my family who doesn't have a driver's license because they're third DUI. Or lost their job because they got caught stealing. Do you have them on your list? I want to love them. I want to sacrifice and give to them. Love our neighbors, our community. We don't need a checklist of how good you've been to get love. Now, side note, and I don't want to make it too big to where this is all you hear, but sometimes, yes, love is tough. Sometimes love is difficult, and you have to say no to people. And that's a sacrifice. Love your neighbor. The sacrificial gift is to be loved. Love your enemies. Those that are out there trying to do you harm, love them. Sacrificially give for them. I think this is most especially seen in prayer, where we want to say, God, destroy them. And we should say, God, change them. Loving your enemy doesn't mean you if your enemies are the Nazis in Germany, that you go feed them and make sure they have all the ammunition they need. That's not love. But it is having an attitude in your heart and your prayer that they would be saved and stop being wicked and work to that end. Loving your enemies. You think, how in the world can I love someone that did that to my children, that did this to me, that did that to my parents, that did that to our church or to my community? How can I do that? The way you do that is you look at the cross. You get reminded what love is. Because whatever anyone has done to another human being never comprehends to what all of us has done toward God in sin. So we are to love our enemies. And lastly, I want to end with love the world. As we go to hear about missions, as we prepare to give next week, to kick off a prayer week about world missions, we should love those that have never heard the name of Jesus, so much so that we sacrifice sacrificially that they might hear the name of Jesus and believe on Him whom they've never even heard yet. We should love them. And so I think all this love, we should make sure that it is seen. Now I want to explain that because that sounds odd. Like I want everybody to see that I love. But I want to compare love to light in that sense. Because God is love. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Right? Light doesn't have to draw people to it. Light just exists and people are drawn. Right? The darkness just goes away when light shows up. You don't have to tell anybody that you're loving someone If you just love them, it cannot be hidden in this world. It really is like the ark and the flood. Everybody's eyes will be drawn to that because it is so foreign in this dark world. It is so foreign in this world where all of social media is me, 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 or sniping at your enemies, to love and to be gracious, to be kind with the words you give. It'll be noticed. To be kind and giving to the boss, to the family member. It cannot be hidden. You don't have to say, everybody look at me, I'm loving my enemy. Anyone around will know, oh my goodness, I couldn't have done that. That's what happens when love is there. The world will be shocked, just like they're shocked at the greatest example of that, at the cross. You don't have to try to let your love be seen. It will be. It will be, because it's different. When Christ came into the world, He was different than everybody else. He lived here on the world different than everybody else. He died different than everybody else. And He has built a group of people different than everybody else. And what sets Him apart? One of those things is love. One of those is love. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank You for Your love. Your love for me, Your love for Your people here, Your love for Your people globally, Father. You have sheep that are not of this fold, and I just ask that You would get them. Go get them, that You would equip us, Father, to go and love the nations, to bring Your sheep out of them. But, oh God, in the name of Jesus, would we not be guilty of loving someone in Africa or in India and not loving someone in these pews? So fill us with Your Spirit, Father, the Spirit of love, that we might love one another in the way we smile or shake a hand or hold our tongue. Father, would You convict us that if we don't know love, don't have love, we don't have You. And would You let Your love shine through us? In the name of Jesus, amen.